Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Some extra expertise with us today. We have Andy Stevenson, who's the general manager at J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is also underway. Let's get right to our callers, John in Kaysville. Good morning. How can we help you this morning, John?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. I've tried for the past several years to grow some of the extremely hot hybrid peppers, the Trinidad scorpions, the Carolina Reapers, that type of thing. The green part of the plant has grown well, grown tall, very full and normal shape, whatever. Lots and lots of blossoms, but I've only had literally two or three peppers set in each plant, and that's late in the season. I've heard that they're sensitive to heat, and I should, be sheltering them or shading them somehow. Any suggestions?
A few things. One, I would get them started in the spring a little bit earlier to get them up to size when you plant them out. So I would plant them 8 to maybe 10 weeks ahead of time, and you may need to transplant them to a slightly bigger pot. After that, get them in the garden, and once we're consistently above 90, get some shade cloth online that's or from a local garden center that's a 20% shade, maybe even a 30% shade, and get them shaded, because the flowers in peppers and tomatoes and many other plants will start to self-abort when it's above 90 and it's above 70 at night. And then you may need to, if you're putting up a structure for that shade cloth, as we get cooler in the fall, you may want to put some row cover or some plastic over the top of them in late September and October if we're getting below 70 during the day, because a lot of these peppers are long season, but they don't like extremely hot temperatures.
Right. I've seen that. That's kind of a race to the first frost, because the ones that do come on come in late in the summer. And we're already getting cool weather, and that's when the peppers are finally trying to mature. So the ones I get are, so maybe the fall shelter is needed too. Okay.
I think it is. I would invest in, if you're doing this for hobby, I would get $20 worth of shade cloth. And a 20% or 30% shade isn't going to reduce food production or fruit production, because we have a lot of excess solar radiation. And so the extra shade will cool them down and make it so that they can set fruit earlier in the season so that you'll potentially get more. But I've grown habaneros up in Cache Valley, and the only way I could do it was to grow them in pots and then bring the pots into a greenhouse in early October to let them finish ripening through the month of October.
All right. Next texter is asking, do almond trees do well here, Ton? Do they actually produce almonds, or are they just an ornamental tree, and do they need a pollinator?
In general, they need a pollinator. There is a variety called All-in-One. If you grow, there is also a Hull's hybrid that's a little bit more hardy, but the nuts aren't as good. So I don't speak French, but there's a variety called Nonpareil, and then you would need something like Hull's Hardy or All-in-One to pollinate it. But yeah, I mean, they survive. The problem is they bloom about the same time as apricots, or a little before. And so unless you're in really protected spots in the bench areas, you usually lose the fruit. And then you also need a really warm area for them, because the nuts and the fruit that the nuts come from doesn't actually ripen until early to mid-October.
Next question is, do you recommend Epsom salt for geraniums?
No. Just use some.
What is that about?
It has magnesium and sulfur in it, and it's supposed to increase blooming. It's kind of a falsehood, and I hate putting excessive salts into soil or anything. And so if somebody's wanting a lot of blossoms, I think they would be just fine with an Osmocote-type product or a Miracle-Gro-type product. Andy, do you have any input on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that. I'd stay away from the Epsom salt as well. Plants don't like it, but you're right. Miracle-Gro and Osmocote. There's some other products out there. There's some stuff called Super Bloom that you can put down that's a water soluble. Anything with a water soluble in it, the plant will readily take it up a lot faster. So I'd probably tend to lean the same as Tom on this one.
Okay, let's take our next caller, Leanne in Provo. Good morning, Leanne. How can we help you?
Morning. I have an area in my backyard, maybe 500-600 square feet. There's a large apple tree, and underneath that apple tree, I've had a swing set. The grandkids are old enough now that they're not using it, and most of the sod that used to be there is gone. It's mostly dirt, and there are areas where it's very, very sparse. I want to resod it, so I'm wondering what I need to do to prepare that area.
Well, is the grass gone because of foot traffic or because of shade?
Primarily because of foot traffic. There's also an area. I was out of my home for about 18 months, and I had a fellow taking care of it, and he brought in a large mower that you stand on the back of it, and there's a little bit of a slant, and that just really chewed up the grass, too. So it's kind of a combination of foot traffic and shade, and then this large mower that just really destroyed it.
Okay, so what I would do, because of the foot traffic, is get rid of the swing set or move it and rototill that soil at least 6 inches deep to see if you can alleviate soil compaction. And while you're doing that, I would put down a couple of inches of compost and till it in to help improve the soil over time. Now, if you're pretty sure that the area is getting enough sun, then you could just use a Kentucky bluegrass sod. That's 99% of all that's available. You may be able to call Biograss to see if they have some more shade tolerant stuff in. But if it's too shady, then you may need to seed something like red fescue that is the most tolerant shade, most tolerant turf grass we can grow here of shade.
Okay. All right. We've lived in our home for 25 years, and the trees were existing when we built our home, and the sod did fine up until just, you know, the last couple of years, that one particular area where the large power mowers kind of chewed it down. So I think it does get enough sun. It's just mostly because of foot traffic and then those large mowers.
Yeah, and in situations, those large mowers may cause some additional compaction if they're not managed correctly. And so if you're going to go to the effort of getting sod, you may as well till in the compost, level it well, and then put the sod down so that you don't have problems 5 years down the road because it wasn't prepped correctly.
Ann? All right, Leanne, thank you so much for your call this morning. We have with us Andy Stevenson. He's a general manager of J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. And one of the things that really does come to my mind, Andy, gardening, for me, during a time of crisis like we're facing right now, really is one of those things that gives me a break, gives me an escape, and such an important time just to get out in your yard and just feel good about what's going on and participate with your family.
You know, it really does. Yesterday it was brought up to me, there was a thing back during World War I and also during World War II called the Victory Garden. And you can go online and do a little research on this, but what it was meant to be was you can supplement by growing your own products and, you know, growing your own stuff for food. But one thing it did say in there that was very interesting is it said that it was a civil morale booster. And I thought, isn't that what we need? We're all been kind of cooped up in our homes. And it's a true blessing that we are an essential business, that people can still garden. They can get outside. You can get your hands in the dirt, so to say. And they've done tons of research on this, with gardening's like the second most popular hobby there is in the world. But what's neat about that is you can get your hands in the dirt and work. And then at the end of your labors, months down the road, and you can get some benefits and reap those rewards with growing your own tomatoes or peppers or herb gardens or whatever it may be. It's able to allow you to get your children out and teach them the value of work and how they can see rewards from their labors. They talk health-wise. It is such a mental thing, and especially right now we're in the middle of this pandemic and here in Utah where the earth's shaking once in a while, to get out and just enjoy the sunlight and to feel it on your face and the benefits from being outdoors and to working in a garden is such a pure joy, and it's so beneficial.
Right. And you have, you know, for me, the annual tomato sale really marks the beginning of the season. And tell us about your annual sale. You've got some great deals for customers right now.
It is. So the tomato deal, we call it the light switch here at J&J. The annual tomato sale is the light switch that kind of turns business on. So right now, all the large size tomatoes that are in containers comparable to a gallon size, if you're familiar with that, they're all half off. They're $2.25. That sale will run from now until next Saturday is how we've got it scheduled for now. It's been going a week. It's been quite well. People have been able to come in and get their products. We've got on those tomatoes, we've got all their most popular varieties, from cherry tomatoes to the heirlooms to your early girls and celebrities and better boys and the full range.
And I love how you've done all the sanitizing to make sure everybody's going to stay safe, as well as moving your tomato plants around instead of leaving them in one spot, kind of spreading them out so people can social distance.
Absolutely. You know what? We moved those tomatoes out front last weekend, and to be honest, that was one of the best things we've ever done, and I'm looking forward to next year, because this is going to be a tradition that we're going to do, is to move these tomatoes out into the parking lot and just spread out people so it's a lot more friendly environment. It's always been friendly, but to just spread you out so you'll be able to shop and move around and to be able to do those type of things. But we're going to do it every year from now. And then on our upcoming Mother's Day promotion, when we do our hanging basket sale, and we might have another item in that mix as well, we're going to move those out in the parking lot too.
All right. The annual tomato sale underway at J&J Garden Center. We're going to take a break. Coming back with more of your calls at 801-575-8255. And your questions, you can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Green Tip is sponsored by Ivory Homes. And Ton, it's amazing how, you know, our indoor plants are mini fresh air factories. We don't have to buy an appliance. You can actually use plants to make a difference in your home.
You know, the house plants, if you have enough of them, will offer a number of benefits. Now, there is research out there that in certain circumstances, house plants will take out of the air certain harmful molecules, benzene and a number of other things. Now, are they going to clean it all up? Probably not, but that is there. And then the other advantage to this, when they say don't buy an appliance, is that plants, especially during the winter, help humidify the air, because as we water them, they actually actively use the water, and then it's in essence pumped out of the leaves to be able to transport the nutrients. And so in a room with lots of houseplants, it may actually be a little bit easier to breathe because of the increased humidity.
And again, thanks to Ivory Homes for today's Green Tip. Let's take our next caller. Philip is calling from Summit County. Good morning, Philip.
Morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well, thanks. What is your question?
Well, I had two questions for you. One of them, last year we built some greenhouses, and we did pretty good with most of the plants in there, but one of them we really struggled with was our tomatoes, and that the plants grew huge, like 5-6 feet tall. Tons of tomatoes on them. Not one of them would turn red.
What variety of tomato did you grow?
We had cherry tomatoes in there, Roma tomatoes, and then big boy tomatoes. The cherry tomatoes started to turn red at the end of the year, but everything else just stayed green.
Andy, do you think it was too hot in there?
Well, there's two things here. One, it could be too hot, so you want to make sure you get enough ventilation. Open the doors, the windows, whatever. Us here, we even we actually paint the top of the building with a white product. We call it shading to help cut down on those temperatures. The other thing that I would probably have to ask first is how much fertilizer was you putting on the plants? Because if you over-fertilize, you'll get a lot of plant and not a lot of fruit. So you have to make sure those moderations are very careful. I've seen one guy, he actually produced Better Boy tomato and he got them 10 feet tall. And it's because it's usually by over-fertilizing.
That's amazing for the size of that plant being determinant. Oh, wow. So how much fertilizer were you putting down on those tomatoes?
I didn't put any fertilizer in other than when I first built the raised boxes. And the boxes are about 2 feet deep because we're planting potatoes and things that grow on the ground and everything like that. We filled them up with just topsoil and then mixed in the Miracle-Gro, like garden vegetable stuff that you get at Home Depot. And, like, my greenhouses are 10 by 20 feet long, and I probably put maybe 15 or 20 bags of the Miracle-Gro in each of them, and that, so it was maybe a 1 to 10 ratio of Miracle-Gro to topsoil.
So I don't okay, the other thing that I would have to ask is, how are you watering? Are you watering underneath on the ground or overhead?
Overhead. It's got just the little spray drip system type deal.
Okay, so this is what I would probably, if it's more like a sprinkler system or something where that plant gets kind of drenched with water, one problem that you could be having is the water can actually, depending on the system, can wash the pollination off of the blossoms, and then you don't get a lot of fruit set on the plant. So we always recommend water like the farmers do and do underneath.
All right, Philip, thanks so much for your call. We're going to have to take a break for our top of the hour news. I want to remind folks that the annual tomato sale is underway at J&J Garden Center, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.